excited. So anyway, let's go ahead and get our Bibles and let's just get into it, man. Romans 8. Boy, I tell you, this has been fun. I told them this morning during Sunday school, I kind of got kicked off a little bit during Sunday school this morning. I was like, man, I'm ready to just push this old tape, or this old, that old whiteboard to the side. I said, I'm about ready to push that thing off to the side and just. There we go. I muted it by accident whenever I hit the button earlier. But anyway, good to be in church this morning. Good to have you with us. And hope and pray that God uses what we've been doing here, singing or preaching or whatever. I hope it's a blessing and a help to you, because that's what we desire it to be. Now, if you got your Bibles, you can and you're able, we do stand as we read the Word of God. Just trying to, we don't try to honor it. We want to honor it. Amen. We don't want to make a measly attempt. We believe that the Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And we stand upon its precepts, its truth, and its judgments. And we take them to heart. We believe them cover to cover, including the cover and the maps and everything else in between. We believe this Bible's inspired and given to us by God. If there was ever anything on this earth that was as precious and pure as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself was, it'll be this book. And that's as close as what you got. That's what's close to it as you'll get. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. So here we've got it right here. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's read and starting in verse 10. And we're going to read down through verse 17 or 18 right in there. And then we'll get right into what we've got to preach. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, it's a Hebrew way of saying Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, now here it is that we talked about this morning, if we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon, boy, there's the Confederate English for you right there. Amen. Paul was a Southerner. Amen. Bible's a Southern book. Amen. Say it works for Yankees too, yeah, but it was Southern writ. Amen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Now listen, they're not worthy to what? To be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that seems like a good spot to hit the brakes, and we'll see where God lets us get to. All right, let's bow our heads and we'll pray one more time, and then we're going to get right into this thing. Heavenly Father, as we bow in Thy presence once more, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. And humbly and prayerfully we beseech Thee, Lord, that You would put us behind Your shadow and let us not say anything contrary to the will of God or the Word of God. And Lord, let our mouth be a mouthpiece used by You. And Father, set the watchman at the door of our lips. And Father, we'll be sure to thank You and praise You for all You do. And we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, now in verse 10, He tells you, if Christ be in you, that's it. Qualifier for being able to have a resurrection body. He says, if Christ be in you, that's salvation. And if you don't have Christ in you, then that means you're not saved. But see, the people say, well, I invited Jesus into my life. That's not salvation. There's a lot of people that claim to have God in their lives because they acknowledge He exists. Listen, just because somebody acknowledges the existence of God doesn't mean that they're saved. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. I told the basketball team this the other day when I was preaching to them over at the school. You know what I told them? I said, the devil believes in God. Amen. Does that mean the devil's saved? Does that mean the devil's a Christian? No, absolutely not. You know where the devil's going when this thing's over? He's going right to hell where he belongs. But he's going to hell believing in God. Amen. He's going to hell believing in God. Yeah, that's something to... Hey, he's back there clapping. Yeah, the devil's going to hell. Man, I can't wait till that rascal ends up there. Amen. He gets there, we won't have to worry about him bothering us no more. Amen. Amen. He gets to where he's going. But he says, if Christ be in you, look, the body is dead because of sin. Okay? Bible, we've already read it. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. But that life that's eternal is not here on this earth. It's in glory. That's where eternal life is. But he says, but the Spirit, it's capital S, notice, the Spirit is life. Why? Because of righteousness. But not ours. It's righteousness, His righteousness. Amen. Amen. But look in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him, now again, it's capital S, so we're talking about the Spirit of God, and the Him is talking about God the Father. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now, who else could have raised Jesus from the dead but the Father that sent Him? Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So God's the one that sent His Son to be born of a virgin, die in the place of sinners, and rise the third day. So if anybody was capable of raising the Lord from the dead, it was God the Father Himself. So He says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you realize if you're saved this morning and you're born again that within you abides the power of God to resurrect from the dead? I didn't say you had the power to resurrect somebody from the dead. But I said the power of God that it took to raise Jesus Christ out of the grave, that power abides in you. And God the Father put that there when you accepted His Son as your personal Savior. Now, if you're not saved, that's why He said, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, there's a qualifier. You want more power in this world? You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to get the one that's all powerful. Amen. You want more ability to get through things in this life? You're going to have to get the one that's going to help you get through them. Amen. 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 That's the way it goes. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, and we kind of covered this one last time. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You don't owe this thing nothing. You don't owe this thing nothing. It hasn't done anything for you except give you trouble. Amen. Amen. That's all this thing's ever done for you is give you trouble. So why would we have to worry about running errands for something that's dead? Amen. That's what he says. He said, verse 11, he raised up Jesus from the dead, but then look in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead. So we're running errands for a dead man. Why would we, if we're living for the flesh, we're running errands for a dead man. Why would we do that? Listen, we already have to do that enough, don't we? Don't we? I mean, you got to go to work, don't you? You got to pay bills, don't you? I mean, ain't your belly a grumbling right now? Some of y'all sitting here, man, my belly's rubbing a blister on my backbone, preacher. Make sure it's a short one today. We'll give the Baptist salute if you get too close, you know. That's a Baptist salute. Only one person in my life I've ever give permission to do that to me, and that was Eddie Stewart. And that was when we were in the other sanctuary back there, and he was back in his little sound booth, and nobody could see him. I said, if I start getting past the 12 o'clock hour, I said, just do this. He don't do that now because everybody sees him. Yeah, 11:55. Say, here's your 5-minute warning, preacher. All right, verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, and this is common, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. It don't take a rocket scientist to know that. Listen, let me tell you something. God will get into anything. Oh man, it's so good. Man, this is good. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, for there hath no temptation taken you. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, what does that mean? That means that no matter what this world tries to hand you, you don't have to take it.
Amen.
Amen. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The last part of the verse, but God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, you don't, I mean, look, let me say, oh, preacher, what are you getting at? Listen to me. We just read, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. That's not hard to understand, is it? If you eat too much, you're going to get heart disease. You eat too many sweets, you're going to get diabetes. Amen. That's why Miss Donna's sugar's so high. She's sweet as she can be. Amen. She said, my sugar is at 300 and something. Well, praise the Lord. Now, I know that's dangerous. We ain't belittling the situation, you know. But listen to me. Anything in this life, look, and I'm not picking on people, so don't think I'm picking on you. But if you go to the grocery store or to the gas station and you buy a pack of cigarettes or you buy a can of chewing tobacco, what does it say on the can or on the little pack? This product may cause cancer. God even got involved in the manufacturing of that garbage so that you would have a warning that says you can die from this. And then when people get it and the people succumb to the sickness, they're like, oh God, why didn't he see? Why didn't he heal me? Look, he gave you a way to escape. He warned you. See, it's getting quiet now. You go to any grocery store and you pick up any item on the shelf and flip it around and there's nutritional facts that tell you this is heavy in carbs, this is heavy in sugar, this is high in sodium. But you know, we don't flip that around. We say, man, I like me some A1 steak sauce. Baptize that steak in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then we wonder why we got heart disease when we're 50.
Amen.
Come on. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Amen. But look at what he says in the next verse. But, for he says, if you live, or the second part of the verse, but if ye through the Spirit, do you get that? Through the Spirit. So he says he made a way for you to escape that you wouldn't be tempted above that you're able. You can get by it.
Amen.
You can avoid the temptation. And it says, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds. What does that mean? What does mortify mean? Well, if you're mortal, right? Now, what did he tell you back in chapter 6? Remember? He says, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And then in a couple verses later, he said, for to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whether instruments of righteousness or not. I don't see how that's complicated. But I see why it's not popular. People have a hard time accepting that as popular truth because we like that stuff. We enjoy it. Hey, there's pleasure in sin for a season. We enjoy it. It's a way to get rich. It's a way to enjoy the blessings of life, isn't it? Amen. Hey, listen. I got a half a dozen girls on that basketball team over at Blue Ridge. And they are, and about half a dozen of them got to use an inhaler because they can't breathe. Some of them got asthma. Some of them got other things that's going on that prohibits them from having a fully functional respiratory system. But you know what it ain't stopped them from doing? Picking up a vape and sucking that junk down in their lungs. And then when they get on a ball court and we're yelling at them saying, sprint, sprint. And they're saying, I ain't got no more. I can say, I know you ain't got no more. Because you already got an upper respiratory problem. Now you're sucking that junk down in your lungs and you ain't able to breathe.
Amen.
You know what's going to happen one of these days? Them girls, if they keep that stuff up, They may make it out of high school. They may make it out of college. Heck, they may get to their 30s. They may get to their 40s. But I guarantee you, by the time they're 60, they'll have COPD or they'll have cancer or something like that, and they'll be dead before they get to 70. Where's all the shouting at? Where's all the amens and the hallelujahs? I'm telling you the truth, ain't I? Am I giving you Bible? I ain't up here on a soapbox harping about how I feel and what my convictions are, telling you what my opinion is. No, I'll give you a dozen verses on mortifying your flesh that God gave you the ability to do it. He even warned you. These products that people are abusing and using, He warned them even on the product. And people ain't got enough sense to read the Bible and get it. He put it on the pack. And Revelation 1 verse 3 said, blessed is he that readeth. Amen. But we don't read. We just tear that thing open fast as we can because we're about to choke somebody if we don't get it. Amen. Amen. Do you know Subway? Now listen, when I heard about this, I about called them. I almost called them. Because somebody told me this past week, Subway is offering $10,000 to anyone who can take their cell phone and put it in a lockbox and leave it there and don't touch it for a month. I was like, me! Because I hate that thing! Now, I even said to the person who was telling me this, I said, I would do it too. But I am a businessman, so I got to have it for business. I don't have to, not the internet part of it, but I got to be able to talk to somebody. You ever notice nowadays, kids, you say, hey, how do you pretend to talk on the phone? They don't do this now. Now they're... We give it this, right? You could play phone with a banana. Yeah. Amen. Now it's got to be something else. Actually, they don't have to pretend. They're 5 years old. They got a phone. Mm-hmm. But you see what I'm saying? I told them, I said, there ain't no way I could go without it. I mean, I got to be able to talk to people. I said, I'm a pastor. I got a church family. I got to be able to get in touch with folks if they need me. And that guy said, well, part of the agreement was you put your phone in the box and lock it, and they give you a flip phone with your number on it. Boy, I about let out the door. Go find me a Subway. Here, take my phone, give me the flipper, and I'll see you in a month. I thought about asking them, is it $10,000 each month that I go without? Because I could hang on. Y'all can hang on that thing for about a year. Amen. I need a new camper. Summer's coming. Amen. And Disney World's expensive, so let's just go camping. Amen. All right, let's get back to this. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, if you remember back last Sunday night, Brother Joe Byler was here, and he talked about that, being led of the Spirit. And he talked about in Luke chapter 4 over there where the Bible says the Spirit led the Lord into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But listen, same rule applies. The temptation will never be above what you're able. It'll still be able to be withstood. He'll still be able to give you the power to overcome. But look in 15, and this is where I kicked off this morning and was about to have me a time. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Now let me tell you why I got excited. Notice it says, for ye have not received. Now what does that mean? In order for me to receive something, what does that mean? It means somebody's got to give it to me, right? If I'm going to receive it, that means somebody's got to give it to me. I don't know what that thing says, but if it's got a 7 on it, we're fixing to have a come to Jesus. I'll go find that box and put back on it and lock it, and I'm going to throw the key out in the woods. Somebody moved it, didn't they? What is it? Does it say 80? Huh? Oh, it says 68? All right, we're all good. It's just me. All right. He says that ye have not received. If I receive something, that means somebody had to give it to me. Right? Okay, if I receive Christ, it's because He was offered to me. So I receive the free gift. But here's the thing. If I don't receive it, and yet I have it, what does that mean? It means I took it. Right?
Amen.
So if He says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear," then that means that if I've got the spirit of bondage to fear, I've taken it without God's will that I have it. Now, how do you compromise, or how do you reconcile that, preacher? I reconcile it by going to 2 Timothy, and I look in chapter 1, and I look in verse 7, and it says, well, let's just look at it. First, what did I say? 2 Timothy. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." But He says, "For ye have not received," again, the bondage, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." John 1:12 says, "But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." All right, verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Now, we talked a little bit about that during the Sunday school hour, but there are going to be a lot of people wishing they'd done more to serve God and suffer for the cause of Christ when they get there and realize that they ain't no reigning going to be done. Say, "What do I do if I ain't reigning?" You'll be serving. There's still glory. There's still blessings. But I'll tell you this, I'd rather suffer down here and reign up there as I would to reign down here and not get to reign up yonder.
Amen.
Amen. All right, verse 18, and we'll hit Park right here. Man, I've done pretty good. I ain't kept y'all here hardly no time at all. All right, everybody ought to go home and say, "Man, it's been good being church. Preacher kept it to 30 minutes, and man, we had some good singing." Amen. Now, I was long-winded in Sunday school, but we didn't get started till late. Verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, there's a couple of things here, and I'll make them quick. If you look over at 2 Corinthians, and y'all don't have to go there if you don't want to, but I'm going to flip over to chapter 4, and I'm going to read you a little thing. I want to read you here. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy." Now, I'll tell you, He gives it a qualification there. He says it's not worthy. Well, if something's not worthy, then what does that mean? It must mean it's below par, right? If it ain't worthy, it's below par. All right, but let's look at what Paul had to say when he told the Corinthian church about the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, now look down at what he says in verse 17. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." They're temporary. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." You know why people have a hard time going through the things in this life that they do? The reason people have a hard time going through the things in life that they do is because they're putting on the altar of eternity things that are only temporary. Bible says, "Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth." Because what you put up there is eternal.
Amen.
And what we work for down here is temporary. Amen. That's right. And so He's telling you, He said, our light affliction. Now listen, if the Apostle Paul Now, if you need a list of the things that the Apostle Paul had to go through, go over to 1 Corinthians and go over there, and I think it's in chapter 11, and just start reading down through there. And I couldn't tell you the range of verses. I've got it marked in my Bible there. But just go down through there and read about what Paul went through. He said, "Thrice I was beaten with rods and stripes above measure. A night and a day I was in the deep, shipwrecked in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the brethren." But you know what he says at the end of that thing? He said, "But that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." You know what Paul called all of that? Light affliction. Our light affliction. Man, I tell you. Paul went into the city of Lystra and he started preaching. And the things that he was preaching, those people hated so much that they drug him outside of the city, threw him outside of the gates, grabbed a bunch of stones and stoned him until he died. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 over there. He said, "I knew a man in Christ." He's talking about himself. He said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one was called up to the third heaven and saw unspeakable things that it's not lawful for a man to utter."
Verses 2 and 3, chapter 12.
Okay, there you go. I'm glad I guessed that right. You know what Paul got to go to glory and see it. God let him come up there and see it. And then made him come back. And Paul got nuts about wanting to get back up there. After seeing what he saw, he's, "Man, I got to get back up there." And then when he went to suffer and all the things that he did, you know what he told them? He said, "This is a light affliction, y'all. This is a light affliction." See, what I just read you, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, see that, he wrote chapter 12 after that. But he said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." So when he wrote chapter 4 and said, "Our light affliction," he had already went through that stoning. That had already happened to him. Our light affliction, it's but for a moment. He says, "It doesn't hold a candle, brother." He said, "It worketh for us." Say, suffering? Yeah, suffering works for you. It does what? It works for you for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, the reason people can't get it straightened out is because they're putting too much on the altar of eternity that's temporary. Paul told them in Romans 12, he said to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And he didn't say to do it lightly. He said holy. All right. Now let's look at something else. Back in verse 18 of Romans, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." You know what you need? What you need is you need a long look. Now, I don't mean a long look in the sense of you need to take a long period of time to look. I mean a long look as in you need to be looking out there and not right here. You need to be looking out there. Over in Hebrews 11, it talks about Abraham and it says, "For he sought a city whose builder and maker was God." That's what he looked for. I mean, 2 Peter 3 talks about, I can't remember to quote it verbatim. Revelation 21, he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they shall be with Him, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away."
Amen.
What is that? A long look.
Amen.
Looking for a day when all that comes to pass. You know what it'll help you realize? What you're going through now is just a light affliction. It's a light affliction. And it works. It works for you. All right, now I'm saying this, I'm done. What time? It's 11:59. Boy, I've done good. All right. This is where I'm saying finish. This world, beloved, listen to me. This world is a veil of tears. This world is a veil of tears. Amen. Its sorrow can overwhelm the spirit all the way into despair. That's what this world is. It's meant to be that way. God set this world up to be that way so that His people wouldn't get too attached to it. It's a veil of tears, and its sorrow can drop a person into the pits of despair if they get too attached.
Amen.
Amen. They got to keep their eyes up. See, the treasures of this world, and I'll tell you this. Now listen to me. God never intended that you don't enjoy the treasures of this world. Okay? God never intended for you not to enjoy the treasures of this world. Hey, listen, if you're married, if you got a spouse, you got kids, you got friends and family, you got things you enjoy, vacations and things you like to do, those are treasures that God has given you to enjoy. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you, I may be a little bit biased, but I feel like we live in the most beautiful place in the world.
Amen.
Right here in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains, man, I can drive less than 5 miles in any direction and be at some overlook or some waterfall and view the beauty of God's creation and just be in awe at His handiwork.
Amen.
Ain't that something? I like to go down on the creek bank and I like to drop a fly line in there and feel the tug of them little rainbow trout as they grab a hold of that line and pull them in. I don't even keep them most of the time unless I'm planning on eating one. I'll catch them and unhook them and I'll put them back and just thank God for the chance to be out there and enjoy some of what He's created.
Amen.
Amen. I like going camping. I've already mentioned that. Some of y'all like cruising. Amen. I still ain't a Gilligan fan. I ain't going cruising. Amen. I almost come up with it, but when I saw how much it was, I'm like, nah, I'm a poor boy. I can't afford it. Amen. Plus, we ain't beach people. They say, well, the cheapest one, the most affordable one. I'm like, yeah, the cheapest and most affordable is not my idea. It's like going on a plane ride and the cheapest ticket's $150, but it's on this little old piece of junk plane that's probably not going to make it off the runway. You know what? I'll pay for Delta. They're tried and true. They're tried and proven. But anyway, the things of this world, the treasures of this world, God never intended that you don't enjoy them. But you know what you need to do? You need to hold on to them with loose fingers.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, listen, I love my wife, man. I love my babies. There ain't nothing I wouldn't do for my wife and my children. And the more I'm around them and the longer I get to be with them, the more I love them. And the more I want to be next to them. Me and Heather had a day of kind of just being a little overwhelmed, and we just talked a little bit about, man, how nice it would be if we could just leave both the kids with somebody, because ain't nobody in my family can take care of my kids. And we talked, yeah. And it ain't because they're hoodlums or anything like that, but I mean, my mom and dad, in the condition they're in, can't watch both my kids. My 83-year-old grandmother can't watch my kids. I mean, my sister and her husband have got two kids of their own and got stuff going on themselves. And my brother and his wife got their own stuff going on. I ain't trying to boohoo that. I ain't trying to, you know, hey, anybody want to, you know? I ain't doing that either. yeah, Richard, I thought we was fixing to get us a night out, preacher. Amen. Child free. But you know what? I told her, I said, even if the Lord did let us have somebody come along, and I know that probably any one of y'all would say, preacher, if y'all wanted to go out for dinner, you bring them kids by, we'll watch them, y'all go out and eat. Jordan Angel have offered that a couple of times, and I appreciate that. But you know what we've discovered? What we've discovered is even if we got that opportunity,